What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
We continue Palestine Post with Lulu Hamad, a Palestinian-American lawyer, human rights activist, and community organizer. She is the co-founder of Yalla Indivisible, a grassroots organization that centers Palestinian voices and promotes civic engagement and empowerment of BIPOC communities. She is also the co-founder of SoCal Uprising, a grassroots intersectional coalition fighting against oppression and fascism. Good morning, Lulu.
Good morning, Kat. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. Lulu, last time we had you on, it was to uplift the Labor for Palestine event, which I believe was Saturday, and week of action that took place. There's a flyer on your on your Zoom face instead of you. Yeah. Talk to us about what the week holds.
What the week holds for us here, we have a big teach-in at UCI, University of California in Irvine. And that's the poster that you're seeing because UCI, after crushing us last year very violently, the student encampment and arresting almost 50 students, faculty, and community members, decided this year that it's important for them to continue their effort to normalize complicity with the genocide, and invited Tel Aviv University for a conference ironically called Engineering Plus Society. So this teaching is Engineering Plus Genocide, exposes the involvement of Tel Aviv University, direct involvement in the genocide, and exposes the complicity of UCI in normalizing the genocide and crushing any dissent and silencing any pro-Palestine voices on campus, completely destroying any resemblance of freedom of speech on campus. So that's happening this Wednesday evening on campus at UCI. And we're also holding events with Lily Greenberg and Organize for Peace to talk about the courage to speak. That will be on the 18th of September. But just having a look, taking a quick look at this weekend, we had a very powerful event with Chris Smalls and Melina Abdullah this Saturday in front of City Hall. And I'm very grateful to all the people who showed up in the heat for long hours to get the message out to California Labor that it's time for them to step up. As I told you on Thursday, the U.S. here, there are two things that really move things historically. It's the student movement and it's labor. When the students erupted their encampments, the whole world listened. Before that, thousands of us and tens of thousands of us took to the streets and no one really paid attention, or very few paid attention, I have to say. And now it's time for labor to rise up and take cue from the courageous resolution taken by the San Diego Labor Council last month that called for calling the genocide by its name, because unless you call it by what it is, you won't be able to fight it. And so we're calling on labor to recognize Israel's campaign in Gaza as genocide. As we all heard in the news today, the Spanish premier called it so, called out Israel's attack as not as a self-defense, but as a campaign to exterminate civilian population, and that's exactly what it is. We call on the CA Labor Federation to condemn the abduction and assault of Chris Smalls aboard the Gaza Aid flotilla happened last month, and demand an independent international investigation, because if you stand in labor, an injury to one is an injury to all, and if you don't support your own leaders, then we have a problem at our hand. And also we're calling on them to affirm that the attacks on workers in Gaza especially, but anywhere, is an attack on all workers, and to recognize Israel as an apartheid state, as the apartheid state that it is, consistent with Amnesty, Human Rights Watch, and the UN and Bethlehem reports. And then the most important part, of course, is to take direct action by refusing to ship weapons, cut ties with war profiteers, and mobilizing union power to end the genocide. What we all agreed on Saturday is that if the workers refuse, the genocide would halt, would stop. If labor acts, the genocide will come to a halt, will grind to a halt.
What then is your reaction to the fact that the on the eve of the upcoming UN General Assembly in New York, the undersigned global unions representing over 200 million workers worldwide through the International Trade Union Confederation, the Global Union Federations, and the Trade Union Advisory Committee, they just signed a letter to fully support the growing commitment of governments to recognize the state of Palestine.
That's consistent with what the labor movement is all about. That's consistent with the efforts of the Palestinian Solidarity Movement and the Palestinian call to BDS and the Palestinian labor unions call. It is consistent that the labor movement around the world recognize their role and responsibility, and they're stepping up. We saw that in Italy, and we're seeing this in this call to recognize the state of Palestine. They're doing everything within their power outside of the U.S., to end their complicity in the genocide and to uphold the rights of defenseless Palestinian civilians in Gaza. Now is all eyes are trained on the U.S. because, again, as we continue to say, after Palestine, I mean, we salute and honor the resilience of our people in Palestine, and they're leading the fight. Right behind them, we Americans have the most power to end this genocide, as Tariq Habashi was just telling you. There is the root of going for votes, and that's at this moment because of the urgency of the genocide. That's really important, but we need something more urgent because, as we said on Saturday, we are racing against time because the Israeli government and Netanyahu are racing against time to kill and exterminate as many people as possible because before the world reaches a tipping point, and the Prime Minister's statement today is an indicator that we're getting closer to this tipping point. So here, one of the most important venues for us is definitely our vote. But that's playing at this point, the medium term, the most urgent action we can take right now is to use our people power through our labor movement. And because every 15 days, the U.S. ships weapons to Israel. And every 15 days, these weapons kill at least 150 to 160 Palestinians in Gaza. So these ships, these weapons don't ship themselves, don't make themselves, don't load themselves. There are people on the ground who are doing that, and those are the people who have the power to immediately bring this to a halt. And it's the labor movement. So we're calling on the California Labor Federation. We're calling on the American Federation of Labor Unions, CIO, AFL-CIO, to step up to their historic responsibility and take a stand and put an end to this immediately. And if anyone has the power outside of Palestine, it's this, because we've seen our government not only complicit, they're full-on partners. And this is not to undermine from the efforts that Tariq was discussing and that we are also involved in, where we're also asking our representatives to co-sponsor Block the Bombs Act, which is very watered down, but we want to see where our representatives stand on this very moral and literal issue for us. So, because again, we're talking at tipping point and every drop in the bucket counts. So doing it through voting and the political action is very important, but right now what is really needed to literally save lives is for labor to step up and say, we're not going to ship those weapons. We're not going to be complicit in genocide. We're not going to force Americans to be complicit against their wills. their will by funding this genocide with their tax dollars at the time, at the same time that these tax dollars are taken away from our housing, are taken away from our healthcare, are taken away from our schools. These dollars need to be reinvested in our communities that are in dire need of it. And that's where we feel labor movement has the most historic responsibility now. And we're hoping that they're going to step up.
Lulu Hamad, I've got just like 2 minutes with you, but I do want to address one of the big headlines this morning is that there was a shooting in occupied East Jerusalem where allegedly three Palestinians opened fire near a bus stop, killing at least six folks. Netanyahu was supposed to go to court today on corruption charges, has managed to dodge it again because court was delayed in order for him to go to the scene. Immediately, IDF soldiers surrounded Ramallah and other villages, as they say, to step up defense and response. Many of my guests have said that when Hamas launched its defense of its people on October 7th, these folks that have been steeped in conversations about Palestine knew that Israel's response was going to be beyond brutal. I don't know how much more brutal things can get in the region. I couldn't imagine things being where they are now, where 50 to 100 to 150 people are murdered every single morning, you know, by the time I get here and open my computer at 6 a.m. Sorry, I had to take a break there. how do you think this morning's incident impacts what's happening in the region?
It's a mixed shoes, to be honest, because I haven't yet read the details of the attack. And if it's carried out by Palestinians, people have to understand that when you're under such attack, my family, my parent, my dad is still in Palestine. Mm-hmm. We see the settler attacks. We see them grabbing land. Everybody fears, like I fear for my family's house, for my cousins, for my dad's safety. We're being brutalized every single hour. So Palestinians, if they're known for anything, we're known for our resistance and our resilience, and we will not stand idly. So this attack in the face of a genocide, that is a very normal reaction of any normal human being when you're so oppressed. But the way, of course, that Netanyahu is using it, he's using the genocide by itself to dodge the court, and he's killing thousands of Palestinians and even hundreds of his own soldiers, or I would say war criminals, in order to save himself from the court. So of course it's an excuse for him. And they've also announced at the same time that this attack happened, they've also announced the annexation of all the illegal settlements around Jerusalem. So they're tightening the grip and they're suffocating our people in Jerusalem. And that's a very normal reaction. But also this is a very exaggerated and basically just an excuse reaction from the Israeli government, just especially from Netanyahu, to dodge the court, because he didn't need to be there personally. He should have showed up in court, but he will use an excuse. And to intensify, again, he's racing against time before the world reaches the tipping point, and we are very close to there, especially if U.S. labor gets on board.
I often say, and I've got to let you go after I make this comment, right, that the oppressed people, when we defend ourselves, it's a rational response to ridiculous conditions. Lulu Hamad, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope that we will have you back on soon.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.